Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Psalms 128. Psalms 128, and while you're turning, let me just make mention that next Sunday, we will be pleased to have Brother Jimmy Blanton, our associational missionary, with us on this occasion of our 42nd anniversary together, and I am thankful that he is coming to bring a special word. And so you'll want to be here next Sunday. God will bless, we believe, in a great way. Psalms 128, beginning in the beginning. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. In the very heart of your house, your children like the plants, like the olive plants, all around your table. Behold, this shall the man be blessed, the man who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would just take your word, that you would challenge our hearts, that you would make a move in our lives, that we might be more of what Jesus wants us to be. Father, I pray for families represented here today. I pray, God, that you would bless each father, bless each home, and Father, that today that Jesus would reign in all of our lives. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is Father's Day. We want to thank all the fathers who are present. Thank you for sharing this day with us. Thank you for being in God's house. Even though, this day is dedicated to the best of fathers, for many people, this day is a day of sorrow because their fathers are not with them. For many, this day is a day of sorrow because their fathers just weren't that great. And so the day can have some difficult memories. But I want you to understand we're talking about the best of fathers. Now, in truth, all fathers mess up. Every single one of us, has times when we are not all that we should be and all that we could be, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't want to be better. The general thought is that this is a man's world. Have you heard that? Most men would not agree with that. Ladies say it's a man's world because they've had struggle. And any smart man would understand that women have indeed had struggle, even right here in the United States. Our nation was founded in 1776 under the thought that all men are created equal. Now, we understand that that means women are created equal too, but women had to fight for their rights. And that struggle went on. In fact, we have now had 46 presidents. Some of them you may have liked, some of them not so much. I will tell you probably what is true. Probably in all of them there has been some measure of good. Some of them you had to look a little bit. And in all of them there has been some measure of failure. Most of us remember George Washington, the first president. We remember the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. You know, he did such a good thing in freeing the slaves, and so that was a great thing. It wasn't until our 7th president, Andrew Jackson, that women were admitted to college. Then the years passed by. Our 28th president, Woodrow Wilson, signed the 19th Amendment, which finally gave women the right to vote. And yes, I know it wasn't until 1965, the 38th president, Lyndon Johnson, signed the Voting Rights Act to end discrimination in voting. But let's go back. Go back to before women got the right to vote. It was 1914. Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president, signed into law a day that would commemorate mothers. We got Mother's Day. That practice had been going on in churches for some time. It reached the White House, and it was a move of popularity for him. And so he made that move. So did this man who stood for the family and stand for mothers, stand for fathers? Absolutely not. In fact, there was a little bit of discussion over that, and the thought was to proclaim a Father's Day would limit or take away from Mother's Day. And so people tried to stay away from the thought of a Father's Day. The 30th president, Calvin Coolidge, suggested that people might think one day of adding a Father's Day to the national calendar. But he made no law and took no action. He didn't want to touch that hot button, if you will. 32nd president, you should know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He had 4 terms in office. And thanks to those 4 terms, no president can have more than 2. 4 tries at the presidency, and not one of them did he deal with fathers, to give fathers a day. Now, I'll give him a little bit off. I mean, he was dealing with the Great Depression and a world war, but he left fathers out. Mother's Day just kept rolling along, being stronger and stronger. The 34th president, Eisenhower, Dwight Eisenhower. I like Ike. Let me tell you, I like Ike. Eisenhower, our President Eisenhower, stood not only for our nation, he stood for Jesus, and he challenged America to get into church. And during his presidency, churches across the land filled up. Baptists had that million more in 54, and we surpassed it. Baptizing people, seeing people come to the Lord, and much of that due to President Eisenhower taking a stand for church. But he wouldn't take a stand for fathers. In fact, during Eisenhower's administration, the Congress actually passed a bill and sent it to his desk to proclaim a day to honor fathers. He didn't sign it. And so we were left out in the dark. There was no official action for a Father's Day, not in the 50s, not in the 60s. It wasn't until 1972, our 37th president, Richard Nixon. And Richard Nixon signed into law the creation of a Father's Day, the second Sunday in June. Now, we know that had been a hot button. We know it had been an issue of discussion. I don't know, but I will tell you that Richard Nixon, 2 years after he signed into law Father's Day, resigned from the presidency. Father's Day, Watergate, I don't know. But anyway, we got Father's Day. So while Father's Day may have come late, and many people discount fathers as being important, let me tell you, God thinks fathers are important. Fathers play an important role. In fact, people today are understanding more and more that fathers do have a place. Science has proven that men and women are different. I want you to hear that again. Science has proven that men and women are different. Now, most of us that have a brain figure that out for ourselves. But apparently today, the liberal world wants to say that there is no difference in male and female, and so there is no difference in any pairing of males and females, and so it doesn't matter. Any couple can become married, and it just doesn't matter what they are or who they are, and if you don't like what you are, you just change it and become something else. Well, men are different from the composition of their blood to the ways their brains develop. And yes, ladies, our brains do develop. Men and women differ in every cell of their bodies. Women have a greater constitutional vitality, and so women very commonly will live 4 to 5 years longer than the average male. Women have more water in their cells, and they have 20% fewer red cells, which means that women sometimes will tire quicker than a man. The liberal world wants you to think that we're all the same. The liberal world wants you to think that any pairing at all is okay. The liberal world wants us to think that anybody, any community can raise a child. Any gendered coupling can do as good as a male and a female. But I am here to tell you, God had a reason for creating the family with a male and female. Biology would tell you the only way to create a family is with a male and female. And though some today don't like that they are a male or don't like that they're a female, and they may try to go through some physiological changes, let me tell you that whatever you came into this world as is what you are. And our God doesn't make mistakes. Now, in saying that, let me back it up by saying this. We treat all people with honor. We treat all people with love. We treat all people with an opportunity to come to know Jesus as their Savior. And it doesn't matter where you come from or what you have done. Being a real dad, being a real mom, is more than there's just a biological happening. Any male and female can come together and have babies, and many do, but the reality is that just having a child doesn't necessarily make you a mom or a dad. The author of Psalms relays some important information to us. That's a little cloudy who authored the 128th Psalm. It could have been David. If it was David, David was one of the great men in the Bible. And while he's a great and very successful king, he was an absolute failure as a father. And yet David did know some things about God, and David did write some very important things, and David did give us some important information. No matter who wrote this psalm tells us how to be the dad you need to be. This psalm tells us how to be the believer you need to be. It tells us how to be the best of dads, and actually it tells us how to have the best of lives. If you want to be the best dad, then you need to be a man of the faith. Psalms 128:1. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. If you want to be happy in fatherhood, you're going to have to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to bow down and accept that you are a sinner, allow Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul. That's what you're going to have to do, a step of faith to put God in charge of your life. For it is only with God in charge of your life that you have a hope of leading a family as God would have you lead a family. Genesis 5 speaks of a great father named Enoch. In Genesis 5:21, and Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Picture Enoch, if you would. He was just going along, having a great life. Things were going good, didn't worry about a whole lot. And then he had a baby. And when he had a baby, it changed everything. What Enoch knew right away is he needed help. Listen, if you have a child, and today's world, children are born mainly in hospitals. You're in that hospital, and that baby comes into this world. Our first child was born. The baby came into this world. Oh, we were excited. It was great. They gave us a sheet of paper only with half a paragraph of information and sent us out the door. How little did they know? And the rest, we had to kind of pick up. Having a baby changes things. And as I am wont to say, I hope someone changes the baby. We have some wonderful single parents, and I am thankful for those who try to be a mom and dad to their children. Thank God for you, and thank you for being in God's house. You need the help of a church. But everybody needs the help of a church. We have some wonderful grandparents who thought they would spend their golden years, if you would, traveling and found out one day that they were now the keepers of their grandchildren. And so they had to reorganize their lives so that those children could be raised. Some people just drop their kids off and abandon their children. Let me tell you, friend, if you abandon a child, you also abandon all the joy that you would have received. Thank God for Christian grandparents who were up to the challenge, even great-grandparents who were up to that challenge. And thank God for children who are raised by people that get them into a place where they're going to hear about Jesus. For others, the arrival of a baby is a wake-up call. You get that child and you know, wow, I'm responsible for a life. And when you know that you're responsible for a life, you know you need help. It's the time in your life when you need to get right with God. It's the time in your life that you need to have God guiding you and directing you. When you decide to live for Jesus, you don't have to apologize for how you live. When you decide to live for Jesus, you don't have to apologize for how you raise your children. You raise your children to God's standards, not to your standards. You raise your children to be what God desires. Listen, I am thankful today that my father knew Jesus. James Ralph Speer was a great guy in my eyes. He was an amazing man, did many things, died at the age of 48. But while he was here, he taught his three sons a lot of great things. I can tell you that there was no question in our lives where we would be on a Sunday or where we would be on a Wednesday. He showed us not by dropping us off at the door. He showed us by leading us in. And he taught us to be in Sunday school where we could get Bible study. And he taught us to be a part of the church and help the church grow. And I still have a vivid picture of my dad in my mind's eye sitting in his big reclining chair with the Bible open on his lap. How thankful I am. I know not everybody has that blessing of memory and thought and direction, but I am thankful that I did. My dad was a very busy guy, but somehow he found time to be at all the events in my life, all the ball games, all the major events. He was able to break away and make sure he was there. Listen, if you're going to be a dad, you're going to have some commitment to your children and to supporting your children. You know, we have found that if we reach a mom, it's a great thing. We are thankful for every woman that comes to the Lord. We reach that mom and we've got the mom. If we reach a child, how we praise God for reaching a child, and we thank God for every child. We want to baptize every child on the planet. We want to see them come to Jesus, and we're excited about each and every one. We reach a teenager. Wow, what a great thing for a teenager in their teen years to be smart enough to give their heart and life to Jesus. And God makes a transition in that teenager's life, and we are thrilled and we've won that teenager. But I want to tell you, when we reach a dad, we reach the entire family. When we reach a dad, we see the whole family coming. We see the whole family serving Jesus. We see the whole family growing together. It makes a difference when we reach that dad. I've had several occasions in my life where I've been in a situation of sharing to a member of the family at a home and sharing with that member of the family, and everything's going pretty well. And then the dad walks in, and I switch my attention to talk to the dad. And when those dads come to know Jesus, you know what happens? Most of the time, whoever I was talking to start with comes to know Jesus. And if there's anyone else in the family that's present, they come to know Jesus. I've had dads bring their other family members to me so that I can tell them about Jesus. What a great thing. Dads are great evangelical conduits to Jesus. Men, we need you. We need you standing up for Jesus Christ. We need you leading your family for Jesus Christ. And we need you leading them to God that they might know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We need you to be a man of the faith. It's not enough just to walk down an aisle, get dunked in a pool. It's not enough just to receive Jesus. Notice that he walks in his ways. This is a man that walks in God's ways. You know, your children are going to watch how you live. And men, they will watch you. You would probably never take a cigarette and put it in your child's mouth. But if you're a smoker, that's exactly what you do. You would never take a bottle of beer and pour it into your child's baby bottle. But you know, if you're a drinker of alcohol, that's what you're teaching your child to become. You would probably never give your child a marijuana cigarette. But if that's your habit, don't be surprised if it becomes theirs. See, children follow examples. I don't know if it's okay for you, but it's never been okay for me to have small children running around using vulgar language. Where do they pick it up? Generally, they use the language they learned by their fathers. We have to be more like Jesus if we ever hope to grow children to be like Jesus. If you honor God with your time and money, your children are more likely to do the same. It's not enough if we talk the talk. We got to show them the faith every day. And you know what? When we mess up, and we will, be man enough to go to your children and say, "I messed up. Will you forgive me?" You might try that out on your wife. After she comes back from fainting, you know, make it a practice if need be. A moment ago, I mentioned Enoch, who walked with God for 300 years. His son Methuselah lived longer than anybody has ever lived, but you know, he never knew a day on the planet when his dad was not following God. Now that's a dad. Be a man of the faith. Be a man of the family. Verse 3, your wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, your children like olive plants round about the table. The greatest gift, men, you can give your children is to love the Lord and to love their mother. The wife is pictured as a grapevine. A grapevine is a very delicate plant. It has to have a solid surface to grow well against. And the picture is a house with a strong wall and a grapevine flourishing up the side of that wall. Well, if the wife is that vine, men, you're that strong wall. You're to be the one that she can be supported by, encouraged by. The wife has a desire to feel secure and protected. Men, never give your wife an opportunity to doubt your love and devotion. Encourage her. Encourage her so she can become all that God wants her to be. Your job is to seek to bring happiness into her life. You've heard it said, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, you've lived in a house, you know that's true. Dad's, guess whose job it is to make mama happy. We're to put a smile on their faces. And she, in turn, is to encourage you. And let me be really clear. Moms and dads, I know you love your children. I know you're dedicated to your children. But under God's direction, your number one priority is each other. Moms, you are dedicated to your husband. Husbands, you're dedicated to your wife. And that is your number one allegiance, because one day those children will be somewhere else and you'll be looking across the table at somebody that maybe you don't know. Make a practice of being in love with your mate and continuing to love and show them that you love them. Notice in verse 2, you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. The husband and fathers are the primary supporters of the home. Now, I know we live in a day where some women make more money than her husbands, and a smart man says, praise the Lord for that. But the primary one with the responsibility is the husband. It is your job. What should a dad be willing to do to support his family, to make sure his family has what they need? Let me tell you what they should be able to do. They should be willing to do whatever it takes. Many dads toil at jobs they absolutely despise, all to make sure that their family has what their family needs. Praise God for men like that. And we pray for them that one day they'll have a job that they can enjoy. The children are compared to olive plants. Olive trees grow and produce. They can produce fruit a long, long time. In fact, if you go to the Garden of Gethsemane today, there are olive trees still producing olives that were there when Jesus was there. And so you want your children to be productive and to produce all their lives and even past their lives. The faithful father will find a way to spend time with his kids. Listen, your children need to know they are just as important to you as your job, just as important as your pals, just as important as your hobbies. In fact, they should be more important than most of those things. I've always been very blessed by my dad always showing up. He found a way. I don't know how, but he found a way. Thank you, men who find a way to be with your children. Find time to listen to your children. Yeah, dads, listen to your children. If you will listen to them till they get to be 12 years of age, they may talk to you when they're older than that. It's important that they know that they have a listening ear. Make sure you find time to talk with them, and as you talk with them, make sure you have time to tell them about Jesus. Don't let your children get out of your house without you making sure they know how to know Jesus as their personal Savior. What good would it do to raise your child in the finest house, to dress your child in the finest clothes, to make sure your child was in the finest schools, to send your child to the finest colleges, only to have your child get a good job but one day die and go to the devil's hell for eternity? You need to get in the way of that, men. Be a man of the faith. Be a man of the family. Be a man of the future. In verse 5, the Lord shall bless you out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. The father that's a man of the faith, the man of the family, is going to have a positive relationship to the future. Now, I know most of us dads, especially as we get a little older, we are seen as out of date. We're seen as people of the past. Well, let me tell you, people of the past can affect what goes on in the future. We need to so live that we make a difference in our children's life, that they will make a difference in their children's life, that they will make a difference in their children's life. Listen, somebody who lives for Jesus, who supports their family, will also be someone that people listen to. They'll be someone that has an effect on their neighbors. They will vote on what they're supposed to vote. They will support what they're supposed to support. And they will raise up what they're supposed to raise up. You're going to have a legacy, men. And that's what we want, isn't it? It's something we want to be able to leave this planet and have made a mark that goes on after we're gone. A mark that's positive. It doesn't take me long to think of men out of this church, godly men that raised their families, brought their families to church, led their families to church. You know them. I know them. We could name many of them. Why do they come to your minds? Why do they come to your name? Because their lives made a difference. Oh, how many have blessed us and still bless us and pointed us in a direction, and we've been blessed by them. Why do we have them cross our minds? Because their lives, their legacy made a difference. Don't you want to make a difference? Oh, I know one day we will probably be forgotten. But we shouldn't be forgotten by those we love. We shouldn't be forgotten by those we love who love others. Verse 6 says, you shall see your children's children and peace upon Israel. That means that you'll make an impact on your grandchildren. You know one of the toughest things about being a grandparent? Grandparents will attest to this. Toughest thing about being a grandparent is knowing you've got to leave your precious grandchildren in the hands of your children. And you know them. To make a difference in your life that makes a difference in your children, that makes a difference in your grandchildren, oh my. My dad never got to meet his grandchildren. My dad died at 48. But my dad left a mark. And because my dad left a mark, my children can tell you who my dad is. The children can take you to the place where he worked. They can take you to the memorial that was set up when he died. They know that he was a believer, and they know that he set a pattern of going to God's house. He made a difference in their lives. He continues to make that difference. What I'm telling you is, if you dedicate yourself to Jesus, if you live for Jesus, if you make an example for Jesus, if you raise your family to Jesus, if you care for your wife as Jesus would have you do, you're going to make a difference that will carry through not only your children, but your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And one day your great-great-grandchildren will be sitting around laughing at some idiotic thing you did with their great-grandparents. And they'll be telling about you pointing them to Jesus and what a difference it makes. The only way to make a difference is to know Jesus. Male or female, listen, the only way to make a difference is to know Jesus. And today we want to give you that opportunity. If you would invite Jesus into your heart, if you would allow Jesus to come into your life to save your soul, then I'm going to ask you just to come forward today and just say, I want Jesus. If you're listening online, I want you to reach out in prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart to forgive your sin and to save your soul. And then get in touch with us here at the church and tell other people what God has done for you. God can make a difference in your life that will make a difference in your children's life, that will make a difference in their children's life and their children. But for that to happen, you need to stand for Jesus. For that to happen, you need to know Jesus. Now, if you're a believer and you're not following him, maybe you're not leading in the right direction, but you know Jesus, it's time to make that course correction in your heart and life. Make that stand for Jesus. Maybe you just need to come and kneel before the Lord and ask him to have all of you today, and he will bless your life, and your family will be blessed as a result. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We pray, God, that you would bless this moment. Father, we've spoken to fathers, but Father, we've spoken to everyone. Everyone needs Jesus. And Lord, I pray that right in this moment, anyone that has not accepted Jesus as their Savior would be willing to come and say, I want Jesus. Father, I pray for anyone that has accepted you but gotten away from you, that they would be willing to come and Father, bow before you and just say, Jesus, forgive me and make me what you want me to be. I'm willing. God, move in our hearts and lives now. Make a difference in us in this moment. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come as we sing?